Good morning, AirVenture. It is Thursday. It is Thursday. And it's AirVenture and it's sunny.
And it's sunny.
It's beautiful. And I mean, we're just having oodles of fun. And I can't believe it's Thursday already.
I can because Doug's here.
Oh, is Doug
Doug
that's
is Thursday.
Doug.
Yes.
Hey, we're so pleased to have with us Doug Stewart, who's one of the he was the 2004 National Flight Instructor of the Year. I know a couple of them now. He's a 10-time master instructor. He's still a full-time instructor. That's why you have the gray hair, I'm sure. He's also a designated pilot examiner up in the Northeast, and his specialty is real-world IFR training on multi-day trips, and he's done more than 12,000 hours of flight instruction.
But whoa.
Even better, he's the executive director emeritus of the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, my old job. No, I'm just kidding. And he's also on the General Aviation Joint Steering Committee, better known as the GAJSC. And he serves on every committee that's played a part in the creation of the, or he served on every committee that played a part in the Airman Certification Standards. And he was the original ATST ARC that was, he was on that one. What was the ATST ARC?
Aviation Training Standards, something.
Okay, well, at least we know roughly what that is. So, listen, welcome. Thank you for joining us again. We had you last year, and we still brought you back.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
I would never thunk.
Well, it turns out that you have interesting things to talk about. All these committees and acronyms and things, but you actually learn a thing here or there. And this year, you wanted to come and talk to us about some new stuff you've learned about controlled flight into terrain.
Yeah, that's a
right?
topic that most people think, oh, we solved that problem years ago. But I guess on the GA side, we kind of didn't, did we?
Well, actually, in the Pareto, the graph that shows fatal accident causality, loss of control still remains number one. But then system component failure power plant, so engine failures, was number two, and CFIT was number three. It is slowly changing, but the work group that was put together to study CFIT, at the time, CFIT was number four in the list. And we've just finishing up that report. It's going in fact, I think in 3 weeks, the GAJSC is meeting to get the full report from the committee, from the work group.
Well, we were talking just before we went on the air about CFIT, and we're not necessarily talking about some pilot on a VFR day just flying their airplane into a hill. We're talking about something kind of specific, aren't we, in CFITs?
Well, unfortunately, there are some pilots who, in just plain daylight VFR, do fly
okay,
into
so
a hill.
Okay, so pretend I didn't say that.
Okay, I'll make believe you didn't say that.
Okay.
We're certainly, we see many of them, is that inadvertent IMC encounter. And this is where I was able to bring, I think, a lot of my experience in working with pilots and in training in real-world IMC conditions. But the VFR pilot, we actually had four accidents, fatal accidents, where pilots in VMC conditions trying to get home, lowering ceilings, lowering visibilities. They keep descending, trying to get to destination. Finally realize, oops, we keep doing this. We're going to run into something, level off, and now go into solid IMC. But their response, which is what we have been teaching for years and years and years, which as far as I'm concerned is the wrong one, is to make a 180. And we had four fatal accidents where pilots in this condition did a 180 and had a CFIT, CFIT standing for controlled flight into terrain, had a CFIT fatal accident.
Yeah, they didn't actually lose control of the airplane, so it wasn't a loss of control.
No.
It was the fact that they executed that 180 and they just didn't do a very good job of it, and the ceilings behind them weren't better.
Right.
By then.
Exactly. And, you know, what was really, to me, depressing in a sense, we had quite a few fatal accidents where another 10 to 15 feet of altitude and they wouldn't have hit anything. But it also made me wonder how many non-hits or just another 10 or 15 feet higher.
How many people actually got away with it that said, it worked for me.
Or they weren't even aware of it.
Oh, that's okay? A good point.
But the mitigation that I proposed, and I'm hoping that it will be approved as a safety enhancement at the GAJSC meeting, is that the response really should be when we have an inadvertent IMC encounter, and it typically occurs in this scenario that I just described, is number one, get control of the airplane, get straight and level. If you've got an autopilot and know how to use it, that's a big part of that. If you've got an autopilot and know how to use it, by all means, couple up. But the next thing is to climb.
Right.
We've all heard that saying that there's nothing as useless as altitude above us, runway behind us, and fuel left on the ground. Climb first. Then really, we know the loss, the four or five C's, climb, call, confess, comply, conserve. Okay, almost the same mentality here in that inadvertent IMC. Climb, call for help, comply with what they tell you to do, and it'll all work out. When they tell you to turn, though, and this is what we saw in loss of control, typically the turn is going to be, oh, standard rate. We have to do standard rate, standard rate. Well, if you're that brand new private pilot in that SR G6 SR-22, and you're doing 180 knots when you go into these clouds, a standard rate turn is going to be about, at 180, that's going to be a little over a 30-degree bank. And this is where you lose control.
Exactly.
And so you don't have a CFIT accident, fatal accident. You have a loss of control, fatal accident. So when you turn, if you decide to turn or ATC tells you to turn, keep the nose right on the horizon, look at the attitude indicator, and don't roll any more than 10 degrees. Who cares if it takes more than 3 degrees per second to make that whatever direction turn, 180, whatever it might be. You're going to live through it. There's no rush to get turned around. Just get turned around if you need to.
Do you think that people don't climb because they've never been taught to climb, or perhaps that they think, I can't climb, there may be IFR airplanes up there?
Well, the standard, no. And there was, it's interesting, in this committee, there were some, it's industry and agency committee, so it's both industry and FAA. And there were a couple of agency folks who were, well, what if their airplane's flying overhead? Well, typically you're not going to be that low, because if you're flying IFR, you've got either, depending whether it's mountainous or not, either 2,000 or 1,000 foot terrain clearance built into your clearance. So they're not going to be down that low. So let's push that that response away, because that just doesn't hold any water at all, okay? But the real issue is that this is what we have traditionally taught for year after year after year after year after year. Okay. And in fact, we even kind of did a test, and I can't remember, I believe it was one of the major schools. We won't mention any names, okay? But we called up an instructor there and just said, and they were actually with they had just finished a flight, and asked first the learner what he had been taught about these inadvertent IMCs, and he said a 180. And then we talked to the instructor and said, absolutely, that's what we teach. And this was a viable, recognized, renowned flight school, okay? It's been the traditional response, but the proper response from my mentality after a few hours of doing this, let's get away from the ground first. And if we start teaching that response, I think we'll reduce the CFIT accident fatalities.
Are there more CFITs with inadvertent IMC at night, or is it about the same?
I couldn't give you a definitive statistical answer on that, Rob. I really don't know. I would suspect maybe so, but within our own database, many of these were daytime. They were not nighttime. Certainly there were nighttime CFITs, and that becomes obvious. But that has nothing to do with IMC or VMC. I mean, you're out flying over the desert with an overcast or no moon.
Yeah.
The potential for CFIT certainly goes up exponentially.
I know of different times that I've been out. I've had one situation where I was with a student descending in California, and the fog came in like that. And the first thing we did, and I had her do, was climb. The only choice you have right now is climb, confess, comply, because here we are. You know what I mean? And that made all the difference in the world for her, because we needed to get up above that fog layer to see where our bumps were.
Exactly.
To make a decision, find the next airport, a valley over, and land. And we did. We were an hour. We broke out and we got our clearance. We got over the hill, back into VFR, landed, and then we had to get a ride.
Yeah. Certainly in that situation, marine layer, you can climb back out of it. I do recall early on in my career, so we've got statute of limitations, I can confess to this, where I had an inadvertent IMC encounter and climbed, okay, and at 9,000 feet, I figured it was time to stop.
Ooh, yeah. No, it was only about 1,500 feet for us.
Okay.
That's painful. Now, you're doing some stuff with the Society of Aviation.
Flight Educators.
Rob was great saying that. I can't even say it.
Yeah,
I just say safe.
Exactly. And there's a dinner tonight, isn't there?
Yes, there is. It is our 10th birthday.
Oh, congratulations.
And I got to say how time flies. You know, 10 years ago, there were a group of us that were the founders, Rich Stoll, myself, Bob Wright, Mark Adams, a group that put the organization together. And here it is 10 years later. Holy mackerel. David St. George is now the executive director, and we have now more than doubled our membership. It's really pretty exciting times for us.
Fabulous. Where can people find you on the web?
Safepilots.org.
Ah, that's terrific.
But if they want to fly with you as an instructor?
Yeah.
www.dsflight.com. Sierra Flight, FLIGHT.
And the dinner starts tonight at the Whitman Regional Airport Terminal around 6 o'clock-ish or so. So thanks so much for joining us, Doug Stewart.